watching online. Thanks for joining us in that manner. As Kenny mentioned a moment ago, this morning we are going to begin a series looking at the I Am statements made by Jesus that are recorded in the Gospel of John. This series will take us through the entire summer, at least through June and July. So for the next 8 weeks, counting today, we will be focusing on this issue of who Jesus declares himself to be when he says, I am. It's not only a statement by Jesus declaring who he is, or better, identifying who he is, but it's also a statement that helps us better understand who he is to us and for us and what he can do and accomplish in our lives. The I am statements that Jesus make are meant to take us into a deeper understanding of how Jesus wants us to live our lives right now, in this very moment, in the present tense. I think a lot of times, sometimes we get caught up in the things that Jesus has done for us in the past, and we certainly want to be mindful of those things, and we want to be mindful of the things that Jesus has accomplished in days gone by and be thankful for those, but we don't want to live there. We don't want to stay there. We want to be living every moment in the present, knowing that Jesus is the same God in the present as he was in the past. Knowing that he wants to accomplish great things in and through us every single moment of every single day as we live out our faith in him. We want to be able to say, along with Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. The life I now live, in other words, the life I'm living right now, right this moment, we want to live by faith, trusting that Jesus is for us, I am. We want to live each day, moment by moment, in the abiding presence of Jesus as he enriches our lives as the great I am. The better we understand Jesus's I am statements and then apply those truths that he gives us to our life, then the better we will run and not grow weary, the better we will walk and not become faint, the better we will abide in Christ and bear fruit day in and day out for his glory and for the advancement of his kingdom. So to help us get a better understanding and be able to better grasp the significance of Jesus saying, I am, we need to go back and we need to look where this phrase first showed up, where this phrase first occurred in Scripture. And the first time we see the term I am used in Scripture is in the Old Testament book of Exodus, where God reveals his personal name to Moses. So if you're taking notes and you're following along on the outline of this morning, which, by the way, we had available out in the foyer, so I hope if you wanted one, you got one. If you didn't get one and you just got to rush out and get one right now, then do it, by all means. Take advantage of the opportunity. But if you're taking notes, that's how it's going to start on your outline this morning. God's personal name. God's personal name is revealed to us in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, because it is to Moses that God reveals his personal name as he's calling Moses to go to Egypt and lead the Hebrew people, or the Israelites, out from under bondage to the Egyptians and into the promised land that God had said he would give to Abraham and all of his descendants. So Moses, if you remember, Moses has been shepherding sheep in the wilderness of Midian for 40 years after he fled from Egypt when he killed an Egyptian who was oppressing or who was abusing, beating a Hebrew. And Moses stepped in and came to the rescue. And in the process, he ended up killing an Egyptian and he fled. He fled for his life. And then God now comes to Moses 40 years later in a burning bush, in a bush that was not being consumed by fire. It was burning, but it was not being consumed. It was not burning up. And so Moses, in his curiosity, decides, I need to take a better look. And upon taking a better look, he begins to hear the very voice of God himself speaking to him. And God tells Moses, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. And then he says, I have heard the cries of the Israelite people, of the Hebrew people, and I am ready to rescue them. And oh, by the way, Moses, you are going to be my instrument by which I will rescue them. And so Moses, not really feeling up to the mission, not really fully feeling like he's the right man for the job, he asked God a question. And the question was, what shall I say to the Israelites when they ask me who it was who sent me? And it is in response to this question that God's personal name was revealed. God's personal name is revealed through this question. And God's response to Moses' question is recorded there in Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Let me read it for you. We're told this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Yahweh is God's personal name. That is what we get from Exodus chapter 3 here, is the name Yahweh. Yahweh is God's personal name. This is what God says to Moses in verse 15. He says, this is my name. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. Yahweh is built out of those words, I am who I am. I am who I am is what God tells Moses, and that is where he says, this is my name. The Lord is my name, which is based out of these these words, this phrase, I am who I am. Literally, it reads in Hebrew, YHWH. There were no vowels in the original written language of ancient Hebrew. And so the vowels were later added from the word Adonai, which is another name for God. And then that is where we get Yahweh. In the English translation of our Bible, God's personal name Yahweh is always going to be translated Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Every time you see your Bible and all throughout the page of Scripture, you see Lord in all caps, that is Yahweh. That is the word that we are seeing translated Lord. It is used over 6,000 times throughout the Bible. Really closer to 7,000. Almost 7,000 times. But over 6,000 times, the word Lord, capital, all caps, Yahweh, is used as a way of God identifying himself to us. Yahweh is what is considered God's personal name or his proper name. The other names in Scripture for God provide other revelation of his character and his person, but it is Yahweh that is given as his proper name. By far, we have more instances of God's proper name, Yahweh, in Scripture than any other means of identification that God gives us where he is concerned. The word I am, or Yahweh, literally means to be. That's what this word in Hebrew means. The emphasis is on the present tense. In revealing his name, God is telling Moses a foundational truth about who he is. When God says, I am who I am, he is emphasizing the truth that simply means God is. God is who he is. God's name is meant to stress the truth that God is. Or another way to say that, God is absolute. He is the absolute reality of all that is. That is what he's communicating to Moses as well as to us about I am who I am. He is saying, I am absolute. I am the absolute reality of all that is. This is the most basic, the most ultimate truth about the reality of God's person. He simply is. Everything else in creation came to be and will one day cease to exist, but only God, simply put, is. He is. People ask, who created God? And the answer is, no one. No one created God. He just simply has always been. And he always will be. No beginning and no end. He simply is. He is the absolute reality. All other realities find their reality in God because he is the creator of all other realities. You exist, I exist, only because God wills that we exist. Our reality is found in the reality of who God is. The moment God wills that we cease to exist on this earth, on this planet, then we will cease to exist. Everything exists. Every other reality, the universe itself exists because God wills it to exist. The moment he wills it to stop existing, it will stop existing. Everything in the universe even itself, finds its reality in God. And because God is, that means he's completely independent. God is dependent on nothing. He is completely and utterly and 100% independent. He needs nothing and he is dependent upon nothing. Everything else that exists is totally and completely dependent upon him. God is absolute. He's primary. Everything else is secondary. And that's what God is wanting Moses to understand, and that's what God is wanting us to understand. When we begin to better grasp the reality of I am who I am as God reveals himself, he wants us to know I'm primary. Everything else is secondary. I'm absolute. And God's name also stresses the truth that he is a God of the present tense. He is a God right now, at this very moment. He is always at every moment God, has always at every moment been God, and will always at every moment be God. In other words, there is not a moment where God will ever cease or stop being God. Every second of every moment, he is God, he has been God, and he will be God. Amen? That's what God wants us to know, is that he is always God. And he will never stop being God. That's why Psalm chapter 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You will never stop being God. This is why he tells Moses, I will be with you. God is emphasizing to Moses that every second that Moses is on this mission, God will be with him. Every moment, God says, I'm God. I'm absolute, and if I am God and I'm absolute and I am with you, then what do you have to fear? As the great I am, God is a God of the present tense, always and continually at work in your life and in my life throughout the world to accomplish his perfect purposes. It is as Yahweh, it is as I am, that God has chosen to make himself known throughout history and throughout his word. So when we get to the New Testament and Jesus comes into the world as incarnate man to reveal to us the most clear and the most, or maybe the greatest understanding or greatest picture of who God is, how do you think Jesus will then identify himself? When Jesus wants to make crystal clear so that there's no doubt who he is, how do you think he will identify himself so that we have no doubt about who he is? Well, you guessed it. It's I am. I am. Jesus claims God's personal name. Jesus claims God's personal name. In revealing himself as God, Jesus is going to take the name that every Jewish person will know without any question or without any doubt who he is talking about. If you want to identify yourself as someone, then you take the name that everyone or that everybody identifies that particular person with. For example, if I wanted to identify myself as George Herman Ruth, and I came along and I told you, my name is Babe Ruth. Well, the vast majority of you, if you have any baseball inkling knowledge at all or history knowledge at all, you would know who I'm talking about. You wouldn't have to go, who? You would know that if I said Babe Ruth, that I would be declaring to be George Herman Ruth, because that's exactly how he was identified, as Babe Ruth. And there wouldn't be any question. You wouldn't come up and say, no one would ask, now which Babe Ruth are you talking about? You would know. I'm calling myself the Sultan of Swats, the Big Bambino, Babe Ruth himself. Because everyone knows when you say Babe Ruth exactly who you're talking about. Well, the same is true. When Jesus declares himself as I am, everyone knows exactly who he's talking about. And so this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus declares himself as I am. You go to John chapter 8, verse 58, and it's in this verse where we hear Jesus saying, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, he says, I am. I am in the Greek are the words ego, I me. Ego, I me. That's how I am is translated. Now, I put this out there on your outline because some may be tempted to say, well, these words in the Greek are different from the Hebrew words that are used for Yahweh. But no, they're not really. Yes, the Hebrew or the Old Testament was written in a Hebrew language and the New Testament was written in a Greek language. But if you take those Greek words, ego, I me, that is translated I am, those are the exact same words that are used in Hebrew for the words I am. As a matter of fact, to show that, if you take the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but during the rule of Rome, Greek became the primary and prominent language. And when they wanted to take and translate the Old Testament into Greek so that more people would be able to read and understand it, they translated Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where God says, I am as ego I may. Because it's the exact same words that Jesus used to declare I am, that God used with Moses to declare I am. And by declaring himself as I am, Jesus is definitively declaring himself to be God. You can say a lot of things that you want to say about Jesus, but if you do not say that Jesus, at the very least, even if you don't believe it, or you're talking with someone who doesn't believe it, at the very least, you have to agree that Jesus himself thought and declared that he is God. And if you went to nowhere else, if you just went straight to, and you could take dozens upon dozens of different verses, but if you went to nowhere else and you just went straight to John 8, 58 and you pulled up that verse and you said, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am, that is the clearest statement anywhere in Scripture that Jesus is declaring to be God. And every Jewish person who was listening to him at that moment understood exactly who he was claiming to be. And we know that they understood exactly that he was claiming to be God in that statement, in that moment, because if you look at the very next verse, John chapter 8, verse 59, it says that they picked up stones to throw at him. Because in their mind, Jesus just committed blasphemy. Because they understood very clearly that he was claiming himself to be God. He was identifying himself as God. Using I am was a clear declaration, a clear statement, unquestionably proclaiming himself as God. John records 13 different instances where Jesus declares himself as ego eimi, or as I am. So we know that Jesus' I am statement in John 8, 58 was not accidental, and it certainly was not a mistake, because 13 times in the Gospel of John, including this one, John records Jesus making an ego eimi statement, saying, I am. So Jesus doesn't declare himself as I am just once. He does it at least 13 different occasions that John records in his gospel. So Jesus is matter-of-factly and clearly identifying himself as God. So make no mistake about that. You want to better understand who Jesus is? Then you have to take Jesus at his word on who he said he is. And he claimed himself to be God. So let's spend the remainder of our time this morning looking at the application of I am. What does God being I am really mean for us today in the year 2020? What does Jesus having being or saying I am really mean for us today? How can we apply who God is as I am in our life? So first, it's important for us to understand that I am is a statement of God's adequacy versus our inadequacy. Remember back in Exodus chapter 3, when God first reveals his personal name to Moses, it was because Moses felt wholly inadequate for the job that God was calling him to do. Moses did not feel like he was qualified. He did not feel like he had the ability to go and do what God was calling him to do in leading the Israelites out from under Egyptian bondage. And so Moses says to God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? In other words, Moses is saying, God, I can't do this. I'm incapable of doing what you are wanting me to do. And God knows this. And it's why he tells Moses that he would be with him. And it's why he's disclosed himself to Moses as, I am who I am. I am means I will be what you need me to be, Moses. You need me to be your voice? I am. You need me to be your strength? I am. You need me to show displays of miraculous power? I am. You need me to go before you? I am. God is saying, I am whatever you need me to be for you. And God says the same to us today. His adequacies cover our inadequacies. He is the one who is able to supply and meet our every need. Put yourself in Moses' shoes for a moment. God has just called you to do something that you know you're incapable of doing. You know that you don't have what it takes to go and do what you've just been called to do. So what do you need God to do for you? You need him to tell you, I am. I am everything you need me to be. How many times in your life have you felt God calling you to do something, telling you to do something, only for you to say, God, that's way too big for me. God, I could never do that. God, I could never go and talk to that person. God, you want me to forgive that person? That's way too big. They've hurt me way too much. God, you want me to teach that class? That's too big for me. God, you want me to lead that Bible study? It's way too big for me. God, you want me to go here and serve you in this place that I know nothing about? God, that's way too big for me. And you know what? The truth is, you're exactly right. It is way too big for you. And it's way too big for me. And that's why God says, I am. I am for you what you need me to be. And many of you have heard this before, but it's a great reminder. God is far more concerned about your availability than he is your ability. Because God knows that he will equip you with everything you need to do what he is calling you to do. And he just says, trust me. Trust me. I will equip you. I am, God says. So the next time you find yourself in Moses' shoes going, God, and every excuse you can think of, God, I can't. God, this is too big. God, this is going to be too expensive. God, I don't have that kind of money. God, I don't have that kind of faith. God, I don't have that kind of boldness. God, I don't have whatever. You fill in the blank. Just remember, God says, I am. I am who I am. In the Old Testament, I am is often linked with another word to describe how God meets our needs. So, for example, in the Old Testament, we have Yahweh and then the word Jireh. Yahweh Jireh, which simply means the Lord will provide. And so God wants us to know, I am your provider. And we see that word show up in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, when Abraham needed a sacrifice and God provided a ram for the sacrifice in the place of Abraham's son Isaac, where that was a test for Abraham, and God ended up providing the ram as a sacrifice. And so Genesis 22, 14, it says that Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Yahweh Jireh. God is our provider. I am says, I will be your provider. Another example how God in the Old Testament combines his name with how he will provide for us is in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. We see the name Yahweh, I am, combined with the word Rapha. Yahweh Rapha, which means the Lord who heals, or God the healer, the Lord the healer, the one who heals. In Exodus 15:26, God says, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and you do what is right in his sight, and you give ear to his commandments, and you keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. God is our healer. And there's bunches of other examples that I could have given you, but it's just another reminder of God saying, I am, which means I will be what you need me to be. And then we get to the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus calls himself I am. And then seven different times, Jesus links the statement I am with other metaphors to describe how he will meet our needs. And it is these seven statements that we will be focusing on each of the next 7 weeks moving forward, looking at how Jesus is I am and how as I am, He meets our every need. So let me just give you a quick introduction to these I am statements that we will be looking at as an example of how Jesus meets our needs as I am. For example, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In John 6:35, He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. He is, in other words, our spiritual sustenance that will forever satisfy our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He gives light to all who are walking in darkness so that we might be able to clearly see what we need to see, the truths, the realities that are before us. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:7. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the entryway that we need into eternal life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus says, lays down his life for the sheep. He is the one who cares for us, and he is the one who gave his very life for us so that we might have a salvation that we so desperately needed. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11, verse 25. I'm the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. He gives us resurrection and victory over death that we need so that we don't have to fear death, but we can face death with confidence. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. It is only through Jesus that we are brought into fellowship with God the Father. And then finally, Jesus says, I am the true vine. John 15:1, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The need for our lives to bear fruit and to be fruitful with eternal significance is met for us through Jesus Christ. So what are we meant to understand through God being I am? We're meant to understand this. God's being I am is meant to provide for my being I am not. Amen? God's being I am is meant for you and for me to always remember, yes, it is true. I am not capable. I am not able. I am totally, wholly inadequate. And God says, but I'm not. God says, I am adequate, and I am capable, and I am able, and I am everything you need me to be. God wants us to know Him as the God who is capable of being for us everything that we are incapable of being on our own. God's being I am provides for our being I am not. And when we know God personally as I am, it forever changes us. I am changes who I am. The big I am changes who I am, little I am. Jesus' holiness changes me from being sinful to being righteous. Jesus' being trustworthy as I am changes me from being prone to worry to having peace. Jesus' death as a payment for my sin, as I am, frees me from being in bondage to sin to living holy and righteous. Jesus' resurrection changes me from being fearful of death to having confidence in death. When we know Jesus as I am, it changes who we are. For each and every one of us, I am changes who I am. And that is what my prayer is over these next couple of months as we look at the I am statements of Jesus. My hope is that in better understanding Jesus as the great I am, it will transform the way we think, the way we act, and the way we view everything about life and about eternity and about who we are in relation to Him. I hope that you'll tune in, be a part, come and be a part with us these next couple of months, because I think that we're going to find some exciting moments of deepening our fellowship, deepening our understanding with Jesus and who He is calling us to be and how His being I am changes who I am. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful that You are the great I am. And I do pray that the reality of who You are as I am would revolutionize who we are and how we see.